crank up the chorus and cue the orchestra. This is the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast for Thursday, the 30th of March, 2023. I am your host, Ken Ray, joined today by Jeff Butt, managing editor of the Mac Observer. Are you tuned, sir? Are you warmed up? Is your bow rosined? Is your reed moistened? None of that's dirty, I promise.
No, and man, I'm a trombone player. I don't have to go through all that nonsense. I just warm up the horn.
Yeah. That might have been dirty. Second part of today's show, maybe I owe you an apology. The last half of yesterday's show was true, and then it wasn't true, and then it was again, and I haven't checked in the last 5 minutes, but we'll talk about what I'm talking about. Also, kicking my pretend insufferability up a notch, I will give you my first preliminary thoughts, my very first early preliminary thoughts on Apple Music Classical, as will Mr. Butts. First, though, strike up the Hallelujah chorus or something. We got dates and deets for WWDC 2023.
Yes, we do.
Do you want to go over stuff or do you want me to go over stuff? How would you like to do this? Because I know you wrote
ahead.
It up. Well, you wrote it up for the Mac Observer, though.
I did.
All right.
Well, okay. So, you know, our wait may not be nearly over, but there is an end date in sight.
Yeah.
Apple issued a press release on Wednesday announcing WWDC 2023 a bit later than we thought they would announce it, to be honest.
Who?
But, you know, once
later than who thought? I apologize because, I mean, this feels to me early. I mean, obviously,
a lot of us thought that we would have gotten it last week. Just based on past history, we kind of thought that we'd hear about it mid-March and not end of March.
All right.
But, you know, it's all good. We did get the press release. And once again, those who want to can stay home for the developer conference.
Yeah. Well, almost everybody has to stay home for the developer conference,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, there's only going to be a relative handful of people allowed to attend in person.
Do you think they're going to do the whole outside thing again, or are we beyond COVID enough now that they'll actually have both attendees and press inside the Steve Jobs Theater?
My gut says it's going to be outdoors in
really?
Apple Park. Yeah.
So here's the thing. I'm sorry. I'm stepping all over what you're doing. First of all, it's going to be remote again. They are going to broadcast the or narrowcast or widecast or whatever you want to say. They're going to stream the keynote for everybody. I don't think they've said yet it's going to be on YouTube, but it'll probably be on YouTube. It'll be on the developer app. It'll be on Apple site, no doubt, and any place that you've got the Apple TV app. So, you know, you're going to be covered for seeing that. Developers then will have access to a stream of the State of the Union address that happens in the afternoon.
Right.
And then all the classes and everything else after that are all remote one more time.
Correct.
I think you alluded to the fact that there is going to be, just like last year, a select group of people who are going to be able to apply to go. Who is that made up of?
It's much like last year. It's students and developers. Mm-hmm. There are separate registration links or lottery links, I guess you could call it, for people who are registered Apple developers, people who won recent Swift challenges, people who are Apple Enterprise developer members. Apple's Entrepreneur Camp.
I was going to say the Entrepreneur Group, I think it also gets to apply. I don't know if they automatically get in, although that's been a pretty small crowd to this point, hasn't it?
It has been, and I don't think they're going to automatically get in. I think it's just like the other groups. There will be, you know, they probably have a certain number that they'll allow in, and if there's more applicants than they have seats for, then that's when it turns into a lottery.
As far as what we're looking forward to, of course, iOS, iPadOS, tvOS 17, watchOS 10. I'm missing one. What is the one? Oh, the Mac.
Mac OS 14.
Mac OS 14 and XR Reality OS whatever.
Right.
Assuming See, okay, so here's where I wonder whether it's going to be inside or outside. I don't think you can ask the people from Forbes and Fortune and Wired to sit outside, especially if you're going to have them go inside and play with some hardware. So here's the question. Assuming, and it's still a big assumption, and it is not a safe assumption, but assuming that we get an announcement about the augmented reality headset, the virtual reality headset, the mixed reality headset, are they going to introduce an operating system and not show off hardware, or do you show off the hardware and the operating system in the same day?
From my fuzzy memory of last year, they did have hardware. They did have a hardware hands-on.
Did they?
After the keynote.
Okay.
And it was in a different location, and that was indoors.
Yeah.
But they had the keynote first, and I think maybe they allowed in a certain number of people at a time. I can't remember for sure how it went down.
All right. See, my assumption was that last year they had it outside because of COVID.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that COVID is not a thing anymore. I am saying a lot of people are treating COVID like it's not a thing anymore. And I think Apple is probably in that group as far as, you know, there are no more mask mandates or anything like that. If they're going to show off an entirely new hardware ecosystem, it feels to me then like you want as much press there as you can possibly get. And that feels to me like it has to be inside because I don't know if you know any of them press people, but they're persnickety. Their articles will be about the fact that they got sunburned rather than they got to go to, you know, see the headset.
Who?
Well, you say that, and I'm kidding. I don't think they would actually only write about that, but...
No, they wouldn't, but...
If that's going to happen this year, it feels like they go inside. And it really doesn't matter. It's just I'm excited about that possibility because I'm excited about that possibility as I have been. Oh, golly, I think I've been waiting for the augmented, the mixed reality thing for at least a couple of years. Not counting the 30 years I've been waiting since the first time I saw virtual reality.
Yeah. I mean, they may take it indoors into the Steve Jobs Theater. They have had large gatherings in there this year. So it's a possibility.
Yeah. Let's go back really quickly to the fact that it's remote. That's forever now, right?
It sure seems like it. And, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes it a lot more accessible to developers, especially developers in other countries.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have to fly to California from Rwanda to take part in it. They can just sit in their office or in their home office and stream the classes or watch the classes at their own time.
Yeah.
It makes more sense.
It does. I mean, it also... I remember when Apple said that they were leaving Macworld, one of the things that they talked about was they pretty much had to close down campus operations for a week or two because there was all the prepping for Macworld and there was actually doing Macworld and then, you know, there's just getting back to normal.
Yeah.
When they do WWDC, there's no place on Apple's campus to accommodate a few thousand developers. You might be able to have them over for a day, but I mean, I can't remember, it was someplace in San Jose was the last place. They used to go to Moscone Center, I think, before that. I feel like there might have been one other place that I'm missing, but I mean, they have to go and get another place. They have to rent another place. And then all the engineers who would normally be, you know, engineering away on Apple's campus now have to go someplace else. And that then is to serve maximum 5,000 developers.
Yep.
As opposed to a world of developers, which I know the people who have done the, you know, in-person WWDC thing say, it's not the same. And you're right, but more people can take part of the thing that's not the same than can take part of the one that, you know, that it used to be that you were able to get tickets. I mean, it wasn't a Groupon thing, but you used to be able to get tickets up until, you know, a couple of days before WWDC.
Yeah.
Although that was well over a decade ago at this point.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to hit on WWDC?
Well, I mean, we should probably talk about what else we're expecting on the hardware side?
Nobody cares.
Well,
I'm looking forward to it. Honestly, No, I'm looking forward to that 15-inch. Are you talking about the 15-inch MacBook Air, or are you talking about the M3?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
Because the 15-inch MacBook Air should have the M3 processor in it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm looking for a new computer this year, mostly because I'm thinking, well, I'm already buying the headset. And so,
well, true,
you know,
yeah.
Can I get by on my Intel-based 2018 MacBook Pro? And when I say get by, this thing gives me no problem at all. So as excited as I am about a 15-inch MacBook Air, because I think, assuming that that rumor, you know, pans out, that's probably going to be my next laptop.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I did, probably not this year, though, because I'm looking for a computer I can wear on my head.
Yeah. So that you can really look like an egghead.
Yeah. Well, see, I was Brainiac. I would have accepted Brainiac as well. Coming up in just a moment, Jeff and I are going to talk about some weird technical glitches in the Matrix, not the kind where they reset the whole thing, but we'll get there. We'll also talk about Apple Music Classical, because we are highfalutin. First, I want to remind you about another show that I do. macOS Ken is the show. Started in January of 2006 and has not stopped, except for weekends, holidays, and the occasional sick day. Before there was an Apple Watch, before there was iPad, before there was iPhone City, heck, before there was iPhone, it was macOS Ken. And it was, you know, fine. It's 10 to 15 minutes of Apple news and news related to Apple news every Monday through Friday. Again, barring the occasional time off, because, you know, occasionally I need time off.
What?
Probably, if you're listening to this, you have heard that show. But if you have not, I really do wish you would check it out. The show is called macOS Ken. It is available at my site, macosken.com. And, of course, it is available wherever you get podcasts. Jeff Butts is with us today. He is the managing editor of the Mac Observer, online at macobserver.com. Did you hear about the Apple Pay outage on Wednesday?
I did.
Yeah.
Luckily, it didn't affect me.
Oh, totally affected me.
Oh, really?
Not totally affected me, because I've got other ways to pay for stuff. But yeah.
Right.
For people who haven't heard about it, around 4:15 Eastern on Wednesday, people were unable to do Apple Pay transactions or payments to Apple Card, actually. Or I can tell you from personal experience, use Apple Card. Very rare that I go out in the middle of the day, but I had to go to the post office to mail something. Mm. And then they don't take Apple Pay, I don't think. So I didn't even, you know, try it there. But I stopped by Target on the way home to pick up. You don't need to know what I pick up. What are you, my mom? Sorry.
Yeah, I don't need to know.
I stopped to pick up coffee. So whatever.
Okay.
Ground coffee, not a coffee, because we got that at home. Except, no, I didn't, which is why I had to stop at Target. Anyway, went to Target and tried to pay with Apple Pay using my phone with their little thing, and it just sort of hung there for a bit. I just kept saying, put the phone close to the reader, and I did, and I did, and I did. And I realized Apple has an amazing advantage when Apple Pay goes down.
What, they can blame someone else?
Well, no, you're going to assume it's somebody else. Like, I assumed it was Target's POS unit. That's point of sale, by the way, in case you're worried about the clean tag. That's exactly, I don't know what you were thinking. I was just reiterating it was the point of sale.
Uh-huh.
Johnny Two Times or whatever his name was from Goodfellas. Anyway, I think Apple's sitting in the catbird seat on that, because I'm just going to assume, as I did, something's wrong with Target. And then I pulled out one of my other cards. Now, had I pulled out my Apple Card to pay for it, then the jig might have been up. But
yeah.
I didn't. I got another one. Speaking of glitches, so yesterday with Nick DeCorville, and you know about this because I talked to you about it ahead of time.
Yep.
But yesterday with Nick DeCorville, I talked about a change in Apple Podcasts that kind of vexed me, as it was yesterday. If you were a part of a network, and I know I said channel yesterday, and then Jeff kind of corrected me, and then I went back and listened to it, and I said channel and network sort of interchangeably. I assumed that this was tied to Apple's introduction of channels, but if your show was on a channel or on a network or a podcast that you were interested in was on a show or channel or network, and you scroll down to the bottom of that show's podcast page in Apple Podcasts, you would see other shows on that channel or network. But then below that, the section that was called You Might Also Like, that was just gone. It was gone for macOS 10. It was gone for the Daily Observations podcast. It was gone for the Checklist. It was gone for another podcast that I used to be part of. And yeah, it was just gone. And that kind of worried me about, you know, discoverability for independent podcasts.
Oh, sure.
And then right before I went to bed, it was back.
Okay.
And I was really embarrassed and was ready to eat so much crow here. And then when I got up this morning, I say morning, when I got up Wednesday, went back to check, and it was gone again. And then later in the afternoon, it was back again. So I don't know if there is a glitch that it is taking it down or if there's a change going on and it's going to come down permanently. I have no idea what's going on. I do know that the black box that is Apple's treatment of podcasts gives me the agita. I mean, it's just for years now, anytime they make any kind of change and we don't know what's coming until it gets there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of makes me, gives me the old heartburn, keeps the Tums on a subscription from Amazon is the kind of thing it does. All right. Let's talk about something fun.
Okay.
And when I say fun, I mean fun for the insufferable. Have you played with Apple Music Classical yet?
I have. Yeah.
Okay. Early thoughts.
It's not as smooth and seamless as I would like.
Okay. You mean just using the app or in the entire ecosystem?
It's placed within the ecosystem.
Yeah, okay.
And I know that you encountered an issue that we talked about, and you know, this kind of the lack of smoothness and a seamless experience ties into that.
Yeah.
So you might want to go ahead and go through the issues that you encountered, and then we'll dive into my thoughts.
Well, let me talk about something that I absolutely love first, because this does tie into it. Because as soon as it was available, I opened up the app, and because it is tied in with Apple Music, it knew about some of the classical stuff that I've listened to before. And so that stuff was front and center. What's funny is I hit one of those playlists thinking, well, I love that kind of music. And then I started playing it, and I was like, I don't really like this that much. I don't know if it was just that one piece or what, because I do know, Mr. Insufferable, I do know that I like Baroque, but I really didn't like the Baroque playlist that they were playing, or at least the first part of it. Now, I had read, I think, in the press release, and I talked about it on macOS 10, and I'm sure it was in the observation deck as well, they do have this get-to-know classical music program that they're running called The Story of Classical.
Right.
And I dig it. There's one like tiny little production thing that I would change, but that's just me. And I mean, the whole thing is actually, and it's not even like, oh, the quality's not good, because the quality's amazing, of course. I wish they gave you like a second or two of silence between the dude talking and the music, or the music and the dude talking, whichever. But that's just a personal style thing.
Yeah.
What I really liked was when it was over, the guy comes on and says, if you like this music, keep listening, because a whole playlist is going to be available of this music, everything but uninterrupted, and the whole pieces, because he's playing pieces and parts all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really excited about that. I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to save that playlist. Boom, boom, ba-doom, because you can't. Although, Jeff says...
Yeah, you can.
And I say, you're full of it.
Okay, so adding one of the playlists that Apple's curated is it's easy. It's just as as tapping the plus symbol.
Sure.
It's not as quick.
Okay.
And this is where there's an issue with how Apple Music Classical fits into the ecosystem, I think.
Okay.
Because it takes much longer than it should before that playlist that you've just added shows up in the library tab. It's almost as if Apple Music Classical has to talk to the Apple Music app first.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few seconds later, that playlist will show up in your Apple Music Classical library. If you tap on the library tab and then tap on playlists.
Okay.
It's not snappy. It's not quick. It's not the smooth, seamless Apple experience I was hoping for. And the other problem, and I know this is a bone of contention for you, is it's just like any of the other playlists that Apple Music curates.
Mm-hmm.
You can't edit that playlist. And they include that 59, 60-minute lesson in the playlist. So you add that playlist, and you've got that 60-minute track called Prelude.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the education about, that part of the story of classical.
Yeah.
And then after that, you have the individual tracks.
But it looks to me as if you have to be in Prelude. You have to be in the 1 hour lesson to add the playlist. Because when I went to, after it played and it started with that playlist, I went into the little three dots up at the top to try to add that.
Uh-huh.
And what it would let me add was that individual track that it was playing then. Now, when I went back and restarted Prelude, when I went back and restarted the whole thing after you told me you could do that, then it let me add the playlist. And as you say, the playlist includes that 1 hour thing at the top that I honestly don't want. Now, it's fine because I can go ahead into Apple Music or maybe even Apple Classical Music or Music Classical because I haven't tried that yet. But I can go in, I can set up a new playlist, and then I can just copy those tracks over to the new playlist. And that'll be fine. It's just weird to me that hey, when this is done, you get a playlist and you also get this again.
Right.
Now,
just for the record, I've never actually played the Prelude track. I just, from the Listen Now tab in Apple Music Classical, I scroll down, I find the story of classical, I tap on the story of classical, I've got the play button, I totally ignore that, scroll back up a little bit, and there's the plus sign.
No, I get that.
As well as the three dots, and then you tap on the plus sign, and that's where I'm saying. It's like it's talking to the Apple Music app. Because I tapped the plus sign, and then I tapped library playlists, and it wasn't there. But a few seconds later, it showed up.
Let's do the praise sandwich thing that you were talking about earlier this week.
No, I don't want to.
No, I'm going to, because here's the thing. I actually do. The quality of the recordings is fantastic, as I say, and I really like that Prelude thing. I'm thinking, though, what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to go back and listen to it again and take notes. Because I want my insufferability to be practiced.
Okay. Maybe you can spin this into an honorary degree in music appreciation.
Or I can just, bore friends and influence people.
Well, that too.
If you have a question or a comment you want to send our way, we would certainly love to hear from you. Our email address is observations@macobserver.com. Curious if you have played with Apple Music Classical. I'm curious what your thoughts are on WWDC apparently staying remote. And of course, I do want to know, do you think we're actually going to see the headset or a headset this year? So many questions. One place to answer, observations@macobserver.com. If you want to keep up with the stuff that I'm doing, probably the best thing to do is head over to my website, macosken.com. Jeff, if people want to keep up with you or get in touch, would you please let them know how to do it?
Absolutely. You can email me at jeffb@macobserver.com. You can find me on Twitter as @clefmeister. And of course, I also run the @macobserver Twitter account.
Advertising handle by Backbeat Media. Online at backbeatmedia.com. The Daily Observations is a production of the Mac Observer. From the latest news to how-tos, your source for Apple News is macobserver.com.